Good morning, Rabotai. Erev Shabbat Shalom, Parashat Behar Sinai. So I thought I would share with you something, a nice halachic thought that kind of connects both last week's Parashat, Parashat Emor, and this week's Parashat, Parashat Behar. Last week, a very major theme in Parashat Emor was the Kedusha of Kohanim. And that's the beginning of the Parashat. All of their restrictions, their limitations, marital, truma, mumin, avodah, and otherwise. Also, there's a mitzvah aseh, the Torah tells us, v'kiddashto ke'etlech menochem makriv, there's a mitzvah aseh to sanctify the Kohen, and the Gemara actually brings it down in Masechet Gittin Daf Samach. The Gemara says, how exactly do you sanctify the Kohen? The Gemara says, קורא בתורה ראשון, מברך ראשון, לחלוק לו מנה יפה ראשון, everything that is דבר שבקדושה, קריאת התורה, זימון, or even mundane things like giving him a nice piece, all these things are included in the mitzvah of sanctifying him, so much so that the Chafetz Chaim says in the הקדמה, הלכות לשון הרע, he writes that if a person speaks Lashon Hara, obviously it's bad enough as is, but if a person speaks Lashon Hara about a Kohen, he transgresses not only the Isur of Lashon Hara, but he also transgresses this positive commandment of the Kiddushto, of actively sanctifying the Kohen, because if you speak Lashon Hara about him, then obviously it goes without saying that you're not sanctifying. Now in this week's parasha, after obviously the first part of the parasha is dedicated to Mitzvah Shemitah, Shmirat HaShemitah, and other things. The second part of the parasha, it's really, Parashat Behar is very short. So the second part of the parasha is dedicated to the laws of Avadim. Avadim Ivrim, Avadim Kena'anim. Hopefully you got a chance already to do Shnei Mikra V'Chatargum. But over there, it speaks about, although the Torah speaks about Avad Ivri for the first time, Parashat Mishpatim, but it gets revisited in Parashat Behar, and the Torah says, Lo tirdeh bo b'farach be'enecha, do not overwork him, and you have to set him out after 6 years, and then there's the Marzea. Anyway, so the Gemara actually talks about, and I'll show you something that really is a very interesting shita over here. Is it even possible to have an Eved Kena'ani who's a Kohen? Hare, Eved Kena'ani is a little bit of a, you know, it's something demeaning. Question is, is having an Eved Kena'ani who's a Kohen, is that something that is contradictory to the mitzvah of V'kiddashto? So I want to preface this with a very interesting, actually two things, from one from Shas and one from the Poskim, in order to illustrate this a little bit. There's a Talmud Yerushalmi in Berachot Perkei, Perkei Talachahe. The Yerushalmi says that Rabba Barav Huna and Rav Huna, his father, were sitting down at a certain seudah, and Rabbi Zerah, who just so happened to have been a Kohen, he was serving them. He was acting as the waiter at that seudah. And when he was serving, what happened was he was using one hand. And Rabba Barav Huna commented to Rabbi Zerah that he says, why are you only loading up all the things or unloading whatever it was using one hand? What are you, is your other hand chopped off? Why don't you use both hands? And at that point, the Gemara says that his father, Rabba Huna, unloaded on him. He says, why are you using Kohanim? Don't you know that it's asur to be mishtamesh, to put Kohanim to work? He says, don't you know that that's ma'ila, that's misuse of consecrated things? Kohanim are holy. So what are you doing? So we see from here, the Gemara learns out from here that there is an isur hishtamshut bekohanim. There's an isur to use Kohanim for mundane purposes. We'll soon see what exactly the parameters of that law is, but just hold off. Now listen to this. In the Gemara, in Masechet Gittin, that speaks about the mitzvah of Kiddushto with regards to Kohanim, the Mordechi, one of the great commentators of the Talmud, Mordechi Rabbeinu Mordechai Bar Hillel Ashkenazi, who was one of the Ba'alei HaTosafot, Talmid Maharam in Rotenburg, he brings down the following incident. By the way, if you go through the Mordechi on Shas, you'll see a lot of ma'asim, a lot of very interesting halachic stories that happened to the Rishonim. This story happened to have happened to Rabbeinu Tam. So listen to this. What happened was, one time, Rabbeinu Tam, I guess it was before Seuda, or maybe before Tfilah, whatever it was, and there was a Talmid of his, who happened to have been a Kohen, who was doing Netilat Yadayim for. And the other Talmidim raised, complaint, I guess if we can call it that, to Rabbeinu Tam, and they said, Rebbe, this Talmid is a Kohen. How can you allow him to serve you? Hare, the Gemara, the Yerushalmi that we just brought, it says that Vekidashto prevents us from making use from being Mishtamesh Bekohanim. So Rebbe, how can you allow him to do that? Rabbeinu Tam on the spot answers. He says, that's only their Kiddushah is on them when their Bigdei Kehunah is on. But when their Bigdei Kehunah is off them, so they don't have the Kiddushah of Kohanim either. To which, obviously, that raises a very, very obvious question that the Talmidim shot back to Rabbeinu Tam. They said, Rebbe, if that's the case, if they're not wearing Bigdei Kehunah, and you're telling me the Kiddushah of the Kohanim is off, so what? So let them marry whoever they want. Let them get Tamit whoever they want. Why are you telling me that one is contingent on the other, that if they're not wearing the Bigdei Kehunah, they don't retain the sanctity of Kohanim? That doesn't make any sense. And the Mordechi, when he's quoting the story, he says, Rabbeinu Tam ishtik. Rabbeinu Tam didn't have an answer for them. Until, look who came to the rescue. There was a Talmid of his. If you know Masechet Gittin, he's actually quoted a few places in Shas. Had a very interesting name. There was one of the important disciples of Rabbeinu Tam. His name was Rabbeinu Peter. Ever heard of him? That was his name. Pe Tet Resh. I guess in Lashon HaKodesh it's Peter, but hey, he had a Loazi name. By the way, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Alav HaShalom, has a tshuva that we find in the Gemara. Tanaim, Amoraim, many of them had, I wouldn't say none, but secular names. Nachon? Chayim? You look throughout Shas. A lot of them did not have seemingly very Jewish sounding names, and that's okay. So Rabbeinu Peter, Rabbeinu Tam's Talmid, came to the rescue. And he says, I'll bring you Ra'aya. He says, when do we say this Isur of being Mishtamesh Bekohanim is effective? That's only if the Kohen's not Mocher. If the Kohen is Mocher, he says, it's Mutar to be Mishtamesh Bekohen. How do I know? He proves it from a Gemara in the question that I asked you before. There's a Gemara, Masechet Kiddushin Daf Kaf Aleph. The Gemara says that we know that there are two kinds of Eved Ivri. Nachon? Eved Shanim and Eved Olam. Nachon? An Eved Ivri, a Jewish slave that works by default, how long does he work? 6 years. Then what? If he likes where he is and he doesn't want to leave, whatever, we go through the process of the Marzea, piercing his ear on the door, whatever, and then he works le'olam, ya'ane, ad shnatei oved. The Gemara says that if you have an Eved Ivri, who's a Kohen, you're not allowed to pierce his ear if he wants to stay until he oved. Why? Because doing so would make him a ba'al mum. Doing so would make him blemished, and he would no longer be able to do avodah in Beit HaMikdash. Says Rabbeinu Peter, why does the Gemara need to tell me that you can't pierce his ear because of mum? Why don't you tell me that he can't be an Eved Ivri to begin with? Because you're not allowed to be Mishtamesh Bekohanim. Apparently, what do you see from here? Proves Rabbeinu Peter that when the Eved is Mochel, you're allowed to actually, not the Eved, when the Kohen is Mochel, you're allowed to be Mishtamesh Bo. And that's how he came to the defense of his Rebbe, Rabbeinu Tam, how he was able to be Mishtamesh B'Talmidu HaKohen, because you better believe that if a student is being Mishtamesh a Rebbe, what? Bevada is Mochel. He wants to serve his Rebbe. So that's how he came to that conclusion. Now, there is a very, very similar question. The Purat Yosef, which is the commentary of the Prima Gadim on Shas in Megillah Dav Zayin Amud Bet, the Gemara tells a few stories of some Amoraim, what they sent from Yishluach Manot. Everybody knows these Gemarot, yeah? The Gemara says that Rabbah sent Abaye, his Talmid, to go give Yishluach Manot to somebody. So the Purat Yosef says, hey, wait a second, Abaye was a Kohen Mibet Ali. How did Rabbah allow himself to send Abaye on a mission with Mishloach Manot? If he's a Kohen, you're not allowed to be Mishtamesh. So you see from here also, it's very possible, the same Yesod that Rabbeinu Peter said, that as long as the Kohen is Mochel, Bevadai Abaye wanted to be Mishamesh his Rebbe. Abaye wanted to serve his Rebbe, and therefore it makes perfect sense that Abaye was mochev, and therefore he said it's mutar. Now listen to this. There's a tshuva of Maharam Mirotenburg, who was the Rebbe of the Mordechi. The Maharam Mirotenburg in his tshuvot in Tfus Prague, Siman Kufsamach Aleph, he writes a very interesting thing. He says that some say that the Isur Yishtamesh Bekohanim is even if he's mochev. Even if he's mochel, you still may not put Kohanim to work. However, others say that you can't put him to work as long as he doesn't have some sort of financial or other bodily or kavod benefit. And he says, Maram himself says, Maram Mirotenburg, Maram Mirotenburg writes that I hold la'alacha that it is perfectly permissible as long as the coin is mochel to be mishtamesh bo, even if he's not getting any financial kickbacks. How do I know? He says he proves it. You remember the Yerushalmi that we brought before of the father and son that were being served by Rabbi Zera? Nachon? When did Rav Huna get upset at his son, Rabbi Rav Huna? When he told him, he says, why aren't you using both hands? Why only using one hand? That's when his father got upset at him. Ki'ilu, he wanted to force him to serve him with both hands. Until that point, Rabbi Zera was serving both of them with one hand, and apparently Rav Huna didn't say anything. What does that show you? That when he was busy serving them with one hand, which he was okay with, which he was mochel, apparently Rav Huna didn't think that there's anything wrong with that. So what do you see from here? That when there's a mechila involved, mechila to be mishamesh lekohanim, the halacha is tzmuta. So says Maharam Mirotenburg. And behemet, there's a shelot u'tshuvot from the, let me find it over here. The Maharam Shik in Siman Samach. Maharam Shik was a Talmid Muvak of Hagaon Chasam Sofer, Gedol Hador. So the Maharam Shik quotes his Rebbe, the Chasam Sofer, who says that how can it be the question that was posed to Rabbeinu Tam by the Talmidim, he was Shotek. Rabbeinu Tam was Gedol Hador. Kol Raz Lanis, there's nothing that he didn't know. How is it that he needed his Talmid, Rabbeinu Peter, to come and defend him and say, Mechila? The answer is, says the Chatam Sofer, Bevadai, Rabbeinu Tam was maskim to the terutz of his Talmid. Meaning, went part and parcel. Ma kavana. He says, Rabbeinu Tam meant to say, what was his answer, Rabbeinu Tam? When they're wearing the Bigdei Keuna, they can't be mochel. Why? Because over there, since over there it's Doraita, when they're wearing Bigdei Keuna, the Kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on them, they can't be mochel there, Kedushat HaKeuna. But nowadays, says Rabbeinu Peter, which is just really an extension of what Rabbeinu Tam said, the halacha is when they're not wearing the Bigdei Keuna, Be'emet, Mechila, does help for the Kohanim. And Be'emet, Milanu Gadol, Maran Zichron Avrachan Yabiyah Omer Chilek Vav, Siman Kav Bet in Or Chaim, brings the Ra'ayat to this. Rabotai, listen carefully. We know there's a machloket between the Bavli and the Midrash. Do you know that at one point, Aaron HaKohen was not always Kohen Gadol? You know that? Who is Kohen Gadol before Aaron? No?
Moshe Rabbeinu.
Yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu. The Torah says Meforash that for the first 7 days of the inauguration of the Mishkan until the 8th day, Moshe Rabbeinu served as Kohen Gadol. Now, not only that, there's a Midrash, Rabbah, in Vayikra, that says that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't stop acting as Kohen Gadol even when Aharon was. For the entire 40 years in the Midbar, Moshe Rabbeinu continued to serve as Kohen Gadol also. And yet, in spite of him acting in this capacity of Keuna Gadola, what do we find? It says that Moshe Rabbeinu, by the Seudat Yitro, which most Mefarshim say was after Matan Torah, by the Seudat Yitro, who served Yitro and Aharon and all the Zakenim? Who was serving at that Seuda? Moshe Rabbeinu. So apparently, Din Keuna has a Din Mechila as well in this way. Now, I would be remiss if I didn't tell you that many Rishonim disagree with the Maharam, with Rabbeinu Peter, with Rabbeinu Tam, and they say, just a few names, the Hagaot Maimoni. Hagaot Maimoni says, like the second Shita, Maharam Mirotenburg, that Be'emet, even if the Kohen is Mochev, you can't use him to serve you unless he's getting something financial in return. Or the there's the Samag seems to say the same thing. Because of that, Be'emet, if you look in the very last Rama, in Siman Kuf Chavchet, in Or HaChaim, which is the end of Hilchot Berkat Kohanim, the Rama brings down that you're not allowed to put a Kohen to work unless he's Mocheh. Which means he brings the Rabbeinu Peter and Maharam Merotenburg la'alacha. Nevertheless, Maran Achidan Shiurei Bracha on that halacha in the Rama says that there are many Rishonim that disagree with this halacha, and therefore la'alacha he paskins, Maran Achidah, that even when the Kohen is Mochel, you shouldn't put him to work. Which is a very, very big question, because many times you find this is actually the Sheila in Yabi Omer, which he discusses. You know, every shul has Gabai, Shamash, you know, people who are there to help and serve. Many times you're sitting down to learn, whether it's Shabbat or weekdays or Shavuot or whatever it is, and you're sitting down and people are coming to serve you. They bring out tea, coffee, refreshments, whatever it is. What happens if the person who's serving you is a Kohen? You let it accept it or not? Or are you being over the Isur of being Mishtamesh B'Kohen? It's a major problem. Yeah, especially if you're Meshadi and 95% of them are Kohanim. Mata'ase achshav. Yeah. You know who else has the same problem as Meshadis? Tunisians. Djerba, which was an island right off of Tunisia. So
Shirazis are like 99% Kohanim.
Yeah, so yes, b'zeh nachon. Yes, I do. But there's, you know, so what do you do now if you have an influx of Kohanim and now the Shamash, the Gabai, the whatever it is, he wants to serve you the refreshments in Bet HaKnesset, Bet HaMidrash, especially now in Shavuot. You know, food is a big thing. To keep people awake on Lim Shavuot, you keep... There's many shuls, I've seen this almost in every shul. They have like these, they even make these bars. They have a coffee bar and a snack bar, and a sushi bar. Why? Just in order to keep people interested and energized throughout the night. So what do you do if the person who's serving you is a Kohen? According to Maran Achida, you can't put him to work. Even if he said, no, I want to. Achida says, even if he's Mochel, Zasu. Maran Tchon Ibracha brings down the Nibi Almer, he disagrees with Achida. He says, no. Be'emet, since this law of the din of kiddush shel kohanim, the sanctify kohanim, is din Torah. That's for sure a mitzvah deorayt. But the mitzvah, or the isur of putting kohanim to work, hishtamshut bekohanim, that all the poskim, the Magen Giborim, Torah Chaim Sofer, many Aruch HaShulchan, they all say it's a din derabbanan. Since it's a din derabbanan, and you have Gdolei Olam, the likes of Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Peter, and Maharam Rotenburg, and others, who do allow being mishtamesh bekohanim when he's mochel, the halacha is that mechila works. Now, Rabotai, especially, this is, I'm not going to get into another thing, there's a big machloket that the bi'ur halacha at the end of Siman Kuf Chavchet, the Mishabura brings down, is one kohen allowed to put another kohen to work? Big machloket. Mishnah Berurah says yes, based on the Yeshuot Yaakov. Many other poskim disagree. But in order to, Maran Tichon Berurah in Yabi Omer does throw in, there's a shita in the poskim that nowadays there's no isur to put kohanim to work because kohanim nowadays, the Radbaz brings it down, Marashdam brings it down. When was the last time you saw a kohen walking around with his ktav yichus, with his lineage all the way back up to the kohanim and Beit HaMikdash? Very, very rare, besides for certain very specific families that have an aidut on them. For instance, the Gaon Mivilna was known to testify about which family that they are Kohanim Yuchasim. You know which family? Rappaport's. The Gaon Mivilna said, all Rappaport's, they're Kohanim Yuchasim. There's such a tradition also by Halabim, by Syrians. If you have, you know, there's a famous last name by Halabim, it's called Tawil. Tawil, you know how they sign their name? Tawil, they write Me'aliyah Kohen. They have a special tradition that they're Kohanim Yuchasim from Aliyah Kohen. But otherwise, most Kohanim that we have today are not Kohanim Miuchasim. They're not considered real, pedigreed Kohanim. They're considered Kohanim Chazakot. They act like Kohanim. Their fathers did, whatever. So we assume, there's a strong assumption that they're Kohanim, but there's no guarantees. And therefore, in situations like that, although there's Machloket HaPoskim, whether or not nowadays are you allowed to cast aspersions on the pedigree of the Kohanim, that's a totally different thing. But at least for this thing, if the Kohen is Mochel, you may put him to work. Nevertheless, here's the caveat. Maran Zichron Baruch Hu, Yabi Omer ends off and says that although if he's Mochel, you are allowed to put him to work, that's only if it's something that's Mechubad, serving cakes, serving cookies, serving tea, that's okay. But to give him Melacha Bezuya, to make him do for you something that is demeaning, asking him to put on your shoes, asking him to wash your hands, stuff like that, that even with mechila, you should not allow. Now the question becomes, if that's the case, what happens? Here's another very common question. What happens if you hire someone? For instance, let's say a plumber. Let's say, chutz me'akavod, your toilet's plugged. There's a mitzvah, by the way, also mitzvah ta'aseh in this week's parasha. Yeah, that there's a mitzvah to give business wherever possible to a Jew, as opposed to a goy, especially if you know that the Jew is in financial distress. There's a mitzvah to give him the business. So now let's say a person has some sort of a toilet clog at home. He wants to call the Jewish plumber. The plumber comes. He says, oh, he says, well, what's your name? He says, my name is Jack Cohen or Eddie Tawil. Oh, well, Ani Achshav, he's a Kohen. Now I'm going to give him Avodah B'zuya, Mutar Asur.
Mutar, he chose that job. That means he was, he gave up his kavod.
So, first of all, you have the Mechila. The only problem is, like I told you now from the poskim, that all the poskim kim'at, not all, but many poskim agree, and that's the halacha, that mechila of the kohen doesn't work for avodah b'zuya. What's the answer over here? He's getting paid for it. When he's getting paid for it, all the poskim agree that even when mechila doesn't work, but getting paid for it does work. Let's say the kohen plumber comes to my house, and he says, no, I want to do it for free. Ani mochel, I want to do it for free. Over there you have a mamash, a very big crop. Over there you're not allowed, according to these poskim, to put him to work in this avodah b'zuya unless you pay him. You must pay him in order to avoid this isur of putting the kohen to work. So kedushat hakohanim is a big thing. And, you know, you find in the Torah in this week's parasha, not for naught does the Gemara say that even by an eved ivri, forget about a kohen, kana eved, kana adon le'atzmo. Chazal say that when a person purchased an eved ivri, and in many times, eved ivri was a person who was a criminal. He stole and he didn't have money to pay back. So he had to sell himself in order to make money to make the appropriate reparations. And yet, what do we say? That as a result of purchasing this Eved Ivri, now you have to give him the best food and the best housewares. And if you have one pillow, everybody knows. Why? Because that's the Torah believes in rehabilitation is not just in punishment form. You really want the person to hang out, to be exposed to a wholesome Jewish family for 6 years in order to realize this is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects Am Yisrael to act. So let me pause this for a second.
Huh? Quick question. How can one marry a Kohen then? If it's through the Shtemish B'Kohanim. You're benefiting from a Kohen.
Yeah, so there's two answers to that. First of all, she becomes an Eshet Kohen. And second of all, what do you want the Kohanim not to get married? What are you supposed to do? You know what I'm saying?
You still have to give her a kavod.
Who?
If your wife is a Kohen.
No. He's talking about, let's say, Bat Yisrael marrying a Kohen.
Huh.
So, listen, that's a different sugya. Maybe we'll speak about that one time also. Aval, mikol makom.
Maybe that's why an Am Haaretz can't marry a Kohen.
Maze?
Maybe that's why an Am Haaretz can't marry a...
Yeah, the Gemara says, that's a Gemara in Masechet Psachim Daf Mem Tet, that causes, that's a sakana. So if you give me one moment, I'm going to pause this, and then we're going to do something on the parasha. Hold on. Hello?